Well, Wynn listeners, you are joining me, Kathleen Wynn, on our Tuesday edition of Wynn Tucson. And we are talking about issues, and we've been giving you information to make informed decisions. And on Friday, we called out Bookman's for what was going to be a drag queen reading hour for children. And so... We got news last night as I was driving back from Scottsdale, Arizona, that Bookman's has canceled, or I shouldn't say canceled, they've postponed. I'm going to put that in air quotes. But one of the people that was fighting really hard to stop Bookman's from the perversion of reading children in the drag queen outfits was Kimberly McAllister. She is a minister. She's a pastor's wife from Bridge Church. And I invited Kimberly to come on this morning because the press release that Bookman's put out has a lot of lies in it. It is not truthful, and it makes them be the victim of this. And I think that we need to be clear that although they're saying they're postponing it, they just didn't like the heat that they got for what was happening. So, Kimberly, welcome to Wynn Tucson this morning.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much.
So, first of all, when you heard that they were going to postpone, what was your immediate reaction?
Well, we were a little skeptical. We weren't sure. The first time we heard, my daughter actually called because our plan was to call them every day. We were calling them every day just to check and see if they had decided to do the right thing and cancel their event. So, So it was yesterday morning she called, and they told her that they were going to postpone it. And so we were just skeptical. We weren't sure if they were just telling us that so they could on the down low go ahead and continue to have their event, thinking we would cancel. We just weren't sure. But then when we finally saw the letter posted on their website, then we realized, okay, they really did postpone it. And of course we were very happy.
Yes. And this is one of those trust but verify categories.
Yes. Yes. We were just waiting for their social media to reflect what they were telling us on the phone.
I'd like to just kind of break this down. I want to read this and then I'd like to get your feedback. But it starts, this is from Sean Feeney. I am heartbroken to announce that Bookman's has been forced to postpone and relocate our March 25th Drag Story Hour event from our Northwest location at Ina and Thorningdale. Our intention was to host a child literacy event in a way that is inclusive of our entire community. I truly believe that that was still possible in Tucson without the risk of violence. But the events of the last week have forced me to acknowledge that at least for now, this is not the case. Was there at any time that your group was advocating for violence?
Absolutely not. No, we were very polite. We called, we voiced our concern over this event that they were hosting. And we made it very clear that it really was about the fact that they were involving children in this event. You know, that was the stand that we were taking. And we asked them to cancel. We told them why we wanted them to cancel it and just asked them to please go ahead and do that. And they told us right away, right from the very beginning, 5 days ago when we first started calling them, that that would never happen. They said, no, I can tell you right now, we're not going to cancel. That's not going to happen.
So then we
started to put them on the defense and just ask them, why would you want to host an event? Like, we really do want to hear what you have to say. Why would you want to host an event where children are being sexualized, where they're being groomed? What's your justification? How do you defend that? And then we just waited and to see what they would say, put them on the defense and make them try to justify what they were doing.
But
we did not threaten.
You didn't? No, I know you didn't. And I know that there were many people that called me, and everyone said, make sure people don't act rudely, that they call politely, that they express their concerns. We have a lot of parents and grandparents that don't want hypersexualized behavior. It's one thing to read a child a story. I do that all the time with my grandchildren, with my own children. Reading is important, but the content and who's reading, you want children to be able to trust the adults that you put in their life. And there's too much other things going on out there. So Bookman's and Drag story, this is continuing. I just want, because this is where they attacked you personally, not you, but your church. Bookman's and Drag Story, our Arizona, have held many well-attended performances over the years without incident. However, as many of you are aware, an organization harassment campaign spearheaded by the Bridge Church and adopted by the local Proud Boys chapter has been launching, targeting this event. There has been an alarming surge of calls on social media platforms to encourage attending and disrupting the event in large groups. This would overwhelm our ability to ensure the safety of attendees, staff, and other businesses in our shopping center. So what part of that paragraph is true?
I don't think there's anything in there that's true.
Okay.
Well, we were calling, I guess. We were calling. Yeah,
okay.
That part is true. We were calling every day and asking them to cancel in a very polite way. Very firm, but very polite.
And what about they're saying that you had an allegiance with the local Proud Boys chapter?
Yeah, I don't know what they mean by that. It was adopted by the Proud Boys. I'm not 100% sure what the Proud Boys are. I would have no idea how to contact them. We were in no way working
or affiliated with
the Proud Boys.
Yes.
Yes. This little process of ours just started with just six of us moms. We're just moms. I'm a grandma. The others are moms. And we just decided we would start calling. And then we called all the Bookmans across Tucson. And we also contacted their event coordinators, because we were told those are the people who choose what events will happen. They're the ones that kind of have that power and that control. So we were also emailing them as well. And then after the first day, we decided each one of us, there were six of us, and we recruited as many people as we could to join us in calling Bookman's. And then we opened it up to our whole congregation. And then I know so many other organizations and groups were doing the same. And one thing I would like to point out is that the president of Bookman's called the Bridge Christian Church and talked to our executive pastor on the phone. And he asked us to stop calling his stores and also to take down our social media, to take down everything that we were saying about Bookman's. And we didn't do either one of those. We continued to call. We did not take down our social media. But he didn't say anything like, we are being threatened, we are afraid for our safety. He said nothing about bullying or threats or violence. That was his opportunity to accuse us of that. And he did not. He just said, take down your social media, stop calling us, and then didn't even give us a chance to talk to him. He just hung up.
So when we come back, we have to take a short break. We're talking to Kimberly McAllister, who led the efforts to get Bookman's to cancel. They have postponed, put that in air quotes. Let's hope they've postponed till 20, 30, 40, 80 years from now. Never. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the other allegations they've made against you, because I want you to be able to speak to them. You're listening to Win Tucson on this Tuesday. On 10:30 a.m., The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back right after these messages from our sponsor. You're listening to Win Tucson, where it's time to speak up, solve problems, and bring solutions to everyday concerns, which is what we had. We had an everyday concern about who was reading stories to our children. Sean Feeney went on to say, and I'm talking to Kimberly McAllister from Bridges Church, who is nonviolent, who did not advocate violence. But Sean went on to say, combined with the recent FBI-involved bomb threat at another Drag Story Hour event in Tempe on February 19th, 2023, this very real risk of violence could not be ignored. As a result, we have opted to postpone and relocate the event in order to address these security concerns. The goal is to return the event to its appropriate context as a celebration designed to foster a love of the literacy in children. I want to go on, Kim. Just one, this next paragraph is where I really lost my Because it's building to this. It's tragic. I almost need dramatic music. It's tragic that we are living in a moment where we are forced to postpone a popular children's reading event due to irrationality and threats of violence. We all have to ask ourselves, what can and should we do to stop the trajectory of violence and hate? Bookmans will continue to do all we can while prioritizing the safety of our community above all else. If I was on a plane, I would reach for my you-know-what bag. Mm-hmm. So I found this to be offensive. Number one, no one was advocating violence. Of the 20 people I talked to, no one said, oh, let's go burn the place down or let's go blow it up. That did not happen, and they took an incident that didn't happen here in another city and kind of commingled it so that you would be blamed for someone else's bad deeds. But more importantly, I don't know why this is a popular children's event. Why watching a grown man dressed up as a woman with inappropriate content being read to children? I would say, what's wrong with the people that have been taking their children? But that's up to them. If they want to do that, they get to do that. But equally, if we don't want our children exposed, I think that's our right too. Go ahead. And I really, you deal with this in your church. I know Christianity and Christians and all of it, the family, it's all under attack. And this is a perversion. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely a perversion. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I would say that if they really felt like they had threats of violence, that they should absolutely report that to the police department, because that is very serious. And that's what we actually had to do, because we did have threats of violence. We had people threatening to blow up our church, people threatening, leaving messages that they were going to shoot us. And so we actually did call the police department. We have filed a police report. We have a case number, and we're going through that process with them right now. And so they are actually accusing us of what they are guilty of, or whoever it is that is leaving these messages and calling us. And you're right, this is America. People have the right to, Bookmans has the right, they're a private business, to hold this event, and parents have the right to bring their kids. They do, but we have the right to call and voice our concern. We have the right to boycott them, and we have the right to protest. And it really is time to just wake up and see what is going on and take our stand. And so that's what we tried to do. We just called. I even offered to them to provide an alternate event where I just asked them, please, you know, let's just take the controversial part off the table. I will create a whole new event where we bring in firefighters dressed up in their gear. Kids love firefighters. We could have the fire truck there. This would be an amazing event. Firefighters are so good at this kind of thing, and they do these kind of goodwill events all the time. The moms would love it. The kids would love it. It would look so good for Bookmans. I would do all the work I offered to do, and Bookmans could have all the credit, but they were not interested in that. They only want their drag queens. They only were interested in the drag queens to do this. And you're absolutely right. Kids see this kind of thing, and they can't process it. They can't make sense of what they're seeing, and they don't, because they're so young, they don't even know like the right questions to ask. It's confusing. It's scary. It's grooming is what it is. And actually, if you go on Bookmans website and you click on the event details to find out a little bit more about this drag drag queen story hour, it's not just them reading books. They also, they want to capture the imagination. This is on the Bookmans website, and play the gender fluidity of children. They want to give them queer role models.
Right.
That's what they said. Children do not need a queer role model. That is sexual in nature. Right there. Children need role models that teach them about honesty and sharing and not throwing rocks at their brother when they don't get their way. I mean, this is what little children are trying to learn. They don't think about their sexuality. And so that's grooming, and that is sexualizing children.
Well, and it's normalizing.
And when we ask them, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it's just normalizing behavior. The kids don't have the brain capacity to discern. So young children's brains they've just learned to walk and talk and they're in school. Mm-hmm. And when you have young, impressionable children, what you put into their thought process, and a lot of kids are afraid of clowns, of people that are dressed up in that way. And it is different than a police officer or firefighter. And I agree with you. I think the moms would like the firefighters too. But not in an inappropriate way for children. Children need to have trusted adults. But when you add in this extra ingredient of gender fluidity, of hypersexualization, of confusion, and it's gender confusion. I'm not saying if someone is a grown man and they want to dress up like a woman, go for it. Have a great day. Yeah. But then the bridge too far is where you now want to involve my children in what you think is what you want to do. And I'm not going to stop you from what you want to do. Go for it. You have a right to express yourself any way you want. But when you then now bring in this component of, I want to show children how I'm acting out, you've got a problem because many families, many households don't want that as an instruction for their children and our grandchildren. And I think we also, it's like their way or the highway, and the only way they could get off the hook for this was to falsely accuse you of violence, which in fact was happening to you, not to them.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, and you're right.
And do you have, there's so many wonderful books that children can read, but this grooming process, we've had a real problem in our schools with teachers teaching, not even maybe dressed up as drag queen, but teachers teaching inappropriate content. And we as parents need to be vigilant. Is your church teaching anything about that to parents, signs to watch, are you encouraging parents to keep speaking up?
Absolutely. Yes, we just had an amazing teaching this past weekend, and it really had a lot to do with just how God works in our world, and he works through us. You know, we're supposed to stand in the gap between God and man. We're supposed to be his voice. We're supposed to shine the light in the darkness. This is our job. And if we as a church can't address things like this, then what are we even doing? You know, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take a stand for God. And so we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. And I was very proud of our church. Like I said, this started just with six of us. And we just recruited all the people we knew. And then we opened it up to the church. And they were anxious to take a stand and call and email and do everything that they could. We were ready for a big protest on Saturday. We were having free childcare at the bridge. So it was the dads wanted to be a part of it as well. And so we were going to watch the kids at the church and moms and dads. We were all going to be out there protesting and taking our stand. And, you know, we were hopeful that they would cancel. We didn't know if they would or not, but we thought, well, at least, you know, they know that there's a large group of people in Tucson that were not okay with this. And maybe they would think twice about ever holding an event like this again. So, we do. We talk about this kind of thing all the time.
They're using safety as an excuse, though, Kimberly. So they didn't. Mm-hmm. They did not get the message in terms of the content. They think that their content is completely okay. That it's okay to teach children about gender fluidity. That it's okay. You know, there's children that are gay. There are children, but that is to be dealt with in families and not. You don't get to then do one size fits all. And these drag queen shows that we've been seeing have led to kids being confused, that kids want to fit in. So depending on who's promoting it, kids want to belong. And kids are just trying to figure out who they are and how to do math. And mm-hmm. what really upsets me is reading is such an important, fundamental skill that you need to have to succeed in life. And even mm-hmm. in the most basic skill of reading, they're adding depravity and perversion as a way to teach. And that is not what we need to teach our children. I just really appreciate the church being a voice for the community. And thank you for doing it nonviolently. Thank you for not threatening anybody. And I know your your protest would have been peaceful this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I applaud
you. Thank you.
Go ahead. We're going into a break, but go ahead.
Okay, we contacted Marana PD just to find out where we should be, where we could be, what the rules were. We were going to do it by the book, and they knew we were doing it. We gave them the heads up because we wanted to do this thing right from the very beginning.
I appreciate you, and if they want to do this again, I think we'll be there to have our freedom of speech. We still have that in this country. Kimberly McAllister, thank you for all the work that you're doing and for protecting our children. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our money, because it's still in question what's happening in this country. I'm Kathleen Wynn on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson on this Tuesday, and we're going to go from protecting our children to our money, because our money matters. And we talked last week about Silicon Valley Bank, and the repercussions from that are still happening. So I've invited Robert Bose to come on. Robert, welcome back to Wynn Tucson. And we are still riding this ride in the after effects of Silicon Valley Bank, correct?
Yes, we are. Good morning, Kathleen, and Wynn Tucson.
Yes.
So everybody's probably pretty worried, you know, what's going to happen to our banks? But I'm a mixed reaction about that. I think most of the banks are very sound. The Silicon Valley Bank was unique in that it had a bunch of, like, $75 billion or almost 40% of its balance sheet was extended to these venture capital funds who don't have any profits and are only relying on the next round of funding to pay for all the costs they're hemorrhaging. So that's they have a very bad loan book. But they also have bonds, like treasury and mortgage-backed security bonds, that have not been marked to market. And they took some losses for that. I don't know if that was enough to wipe them out, but I think it's a combination of both. And most banks don't have that problem. So, but now the real worry people should have is that you have Janet Yellen and the Biden administration who know nothing about banking.
Yes.
They are actually meddling to, you know, they're now, you know, they're hearing advice from the big guys, you know, Warren Buffett and Bill Ackman, these billionaire oligarchs, and they're trying to say, well, we need a bailout. We want to extend deposit guarantees to everybody. Not, you know, it's capped at $250,000 per bank account. So like FDIC insurance has a cap to it.
Right.
So most average accounts are like $5,000, right? So everybody's covered. The little guy's covered. But what they're agitating for now that with the Biden administration kind of going along with it is, let's extend deposit insurance instead of the $3 trillion that it covers now. They want it to extend to like $20 trillion. But there's just no way. It's basically subsidizing and enabling risky activities. We should not be extending the deposit insurance just to bail out a few crazy investors.
But is this a way for the Biden administration to nationalize the banking system? Is this another grab of power of a system? You know, we're printing money that we can't back up. So how do we stop the random policies of the Biden administration, which, as to your point, Yellen and Biden, I wouldn't let them. They're great at getting money from other countries, but they don't share that with anybody. They've put it all into their families' pockets. So how do we protect the working class? How do we protect the average American who's going to work doing their job? Because I think that's what really concerned people last week when we saw Silicon Valley, and it is an isolated situation. They did mismanage their funds, but how many other banks are in the same boat? So I asked like 17 questions. So let me go back.
No, it's good. They're all good. I think I've got them all. Thankfully, they're not.
I'm sorry. I'm on my topic now, and this, like, you know, banking.
No,
besides
topic.
Sex trafficking, banking, and those two may be related too. But I'm frustrated because I hate to think the average American who's doing their job, going to work, doing the right thing, is going to be excuse the language, screwed over by their federal government, who has no regard for them at all and is playing some other game with our finances. So go ahead.
No, those are great questions. And I think the simple answer is just hold the line. The FDIC insurance should not be increased above the $250,000 right now. That the small depositors actually have some leverage right now. Like, so suppose a bank is half insured deposits and half uninsured deposits. Guess who comes first in that case? The insured deposits. So FDIC is supposed to be representing the insured deposits, but what these super wealthy investors are agitating for is to have they want to take the place of the little guy and have the seat at the table. Right now, we have a good situation where the small depositor is protected, and they get the first dibs if the bank fails. So you have Ackman and Warren Buffett and these hedge fund guys saying, oh, no, we have to have all the deposits insured, because they want to actually share in. They're worried about the risk, but they're the ones that created the risk to begin with. So let me give an example.
Yes.
So Silicon Valley Bank, I told you about the loan books that they have, $75 billion in loans. They also had $66 billion of unfunded loan commitments to those same venture capital funds. And what was happening last year when the IPO market dried up, those venture capital companies couldn't get any new rounds of equity to fund their losses. So what were they doing? They started drawing on their lines at the bank, at Silicon Valley Bank. So there was a rush to draw lines. And Silicon Valley Bank said, oh crap, we need to go fund that. So what they do is they go out and they get these hot money, what I call hot money deposits. And they paid high yield to do that. And that brings in these people from all around the world, and China even, who are saying, oh, SVB's given this great rate. We can pop in there and get that great rate. So the institutional depositors rushed in. And then after they realized that this bank's not so safe, they kind of rushed out. So that hot money in and hot money out is something to be worried about. Now, I can tell you, like, you know, the Arizona banks, you know, B of A or First Citizens, U.S. Bank, Chase, they don't have that problem. they haven't had the rush of number one, they're better lending officers.
Yes,
they're smarter, and so they don't have that super concentrated risk. So there's no reason for the rest of the banking system to be bailed out. There's a lot of chatter out there. I think people should just ignore that. Mostly we should be worrying, saying, tell Janet Yellen and Biden, no increase in the deposit insurance. We do not want to bail out these super sophisticated, whiny, hot money investors.
So,
let them, you know.
So speaking of whiny investors, the governor of California. So Gavin Newsom, there's laws, right? He took an oath. Mm-hmm. There's a constitution. There's banking regulations. But somehow he put himself at the front of the line, because he had money in Silicon Valley Bank, correct?
Yes. He and his wife had large deposit accounts, and I think a loan account as well. And without telling anybody, Gavin Newsom called the White House last Sunday, nine days ago. He's calling for a bailout. He's like, oh, we have to increase the deposit insurance caps above 250, because he's doing that for himself.
So
it's total conflict. Yeah,
it's a conflict, and it's an abuse of power. You know, we used to get toasters or blenders when we opened an account, but Gavin Newsom just wants a different thing, right? He wants
more than that. It's not just his own accounts and his family's accounts. What he's doing is shilling for the venture capital funds and the borrowers at SVB who are underwater. What I contend is in that situation, and same with Signature Bank out in New York, because they had losses from crypto. And again, unique.
Yes.
But so Gavin Newsom's he's advocating for a bailout of his underwater venture capital buddies in Silicon Valley. That's the real issue going on here. That's billions. So when they extend to protect them, extend the deposit insurance to protect them, they're the ones that his constituents are getting a windfall like when the, what they did, what Janet Yellen did with, by the way, I believe it's illegal that Congress needs to step in and assert its authority. The FDIC and Janet Yellen can't just say, oh, guess what? We're going to sock it to all the U.S. depositors. That's a tax that needs to be appropriated by Congress. So just because Gavin Newsom and his VC buddies want a bailout doesn't mean we have to give it to them.
Did someone tell Nancy Pelosi?
No, and she's part of it too. She's got all her buddies and donors out there. They're all agitating for a bailout. So no, to basically say no to bailouts. Let the little guys, protect the little guys, and let the big guys, these, you know, purportedly masters of the universe, oligarch, billionaires, let them figure it out. You know, they were trying to exploit the system, and they got caught with their pants down.
And they typically do, and they're greedy. This is all based on greed and power. And this is why I keep bringing up, you know, the average American who's working, because they can't call Joe Biden. Not that Joe Biden would remember they called anyway. But at the end of the day, the governor of California runs to the front of the line, throws down his VIP pass and says, I want all my money out. Yes, I invested in this bank. Yes, it was high risk. When I was getting return, that's okay. But now that it's swayed the other way, I don't want the risk, and I want you to pay me back for my stupid decisions. And that's not how it should work. And I agree with you. I think it is illegal. And for sure, the Biden administration doesn't arbitrarily get to change the banking rules one day to meet their needs. And yet that's what they're doing. It's exactly... Go ahead.
There was a law passed to create a Financial Stability Oversight Council, the FSOC. It's in Treasury. It's got a bunch of, you know, cabinet secretaries and advisors on there. They bypassed, just because Goldman Sachs, you know, wants to get a bailout, or Lord Ackman, our overlords, want a bailout. They bypassed the FSOC process. They didn't talk to Congress. They're not asking Congress. They're basically saying they're creating this fake crisis. It is a local crisis. I mean, if you're in Silicon Valley and you're one of the thousands of employees that are probably getting laid off, that's a problem. But it's local, and it was because they screwed up. They shouldn't have been super concentrated. Arizona's fine. You know, I was a bank workout officer. I was a corporate finance guy at Chase, right, for 9 years, and I did all the workouts at Fannie Mae. Every big entity, AIG, Lehman, Countrywide. I forced Countrywide to sell themselves to B of A starting in 2006, right? So
yes.
I've done the workout. I've done all the workouts and the mergers, and I'm sort of, and most of the banks are really good, by the way. But and they're diversified. The little banks are good. They don't get into this toxic stuff. They don't do derivatives. You know, the local banks are safe.
They're not in crypto.
The regional banks are safe. They're not in crypto, right? They're not in these super leveraged, no profit loans to the Silicon Valley. So I want to assure people that the banking system is generally safe. They do have lots of bonds that are underwater because of Joe Biden's inflation.
Right.
When interest rates go up, their bond values go down. They have accounting rules that say, well, you can still pretend they're fully valued even though they're down at 90 cents on the dollar or 80 cents on the dollar. That's a problem that, you know, if you want a wonky solution, the Federal Reserve and the regulators need to tweak their capital rules, and they need to mark their books to market. And whatever the value is that month or day, the mutual fund industry is great. Mutual fund industry marks their book to market every day, right?
Yes.
The banking sector does not. So it's just an antiquated thing. The feds could fix that, and they could cause the banks to keep more capital, stop paying dividends, stop doing buybacks. Those are the easy things, but they're not for some, and I know the reason, Janet Yellen is not talking about those easy fixes like stopping dividends and stopping buybacks. That would boost the capital. They are beholden to the oligarchs and to the banks, the big banks. And I'm a banker. I love capitalism, right? But this is wrong. What the Biden administration is doing is wrong.
We're going to take a short break, Robert. And when we come back, I want to pick up right there. What the Biden administration doing is wrong. We should all get T-shirts. You're listening to Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Robert Bowes on the trouble of banking industry in the U.S. right now. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to our Tuesday edition of Wynn Tucson. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, and our special guest today is Robert Bose. Robert has worked in banking, worked with President Trump, Fannie Mae. So this is all familiar territory. Robert, I'm looking at the top 10 banks right now. So JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, U.S. Bancorp, Charles Schwab, PNC Financial, and Truist Financial. And so as you go down the list, you get to number 18, SVB Financial Group, and what it says is defunct as of March 2023. So what is the status right now of SVB?
Defunct. So it was taken over by the FDIC, and they insured all the deposits, and even not just the 250,000 limit, but anything north of that they insured as well. They're going to try to work out and sell off the loan portfolio, sell off the investment portfolio. That was about $200 billion when they went into this thing, and they had $18 billion of capital, so they were on paper solvent, liquid, had capital. And so as of February 24th, SVB's auditors, KPMG, signed off on the annual 10-K report, annual report.
Right.
And that would include anything that happened since the year end all the way up till February 24th. It was an unqualified opinion. Then 14 days later, the bank is taken over. So it's like, and the reason is, what they were doing was, and this is a rule for all the banks, all their treasury, and these are AAA U.S. backed securities, those bond investments on the bank's balance sheet, AAA rated, they had depreciated in value because of Joe Biden's inflation, which drove up interest rates the fastest in our lifetime. It went up 400 basis points in a year. So that the value of those bonds went down by, you know, depending on how long they are, could be like $5-10 billion at Silicon Valley. And the banks were allowed to keep them at their full value, even though if they had to sell them off, they're worth 98, maybe even 80 cents on the dollar. So there's this accounting pretend game going on. And the auditors actually, you know, they're following the rules. They did say that there was a critical auditing matter with respect to SVB's loan book, that they really were intimating that were not properly reserved. There were problems with that book. They were absolutely right. Now, you know, Gavin Newsom and Goldman Sachs swoop in. They're like, oh no, they create a panic to try to drive down the price of those things.
Right.
Maybe purposely to get them off, buy them back at 50 cents on the dollar, right? So, but now guess who takes the loss? Goldman gets the gain, and Warren Buffett gets the gain. But what they're doing is actually pushing out. If they're sold at 50 cents on the dollar, then that means the taxpayer, the depositors, and maybe even the taxpayers, because I'll get to that point in a second.
Yes,
the depositors have to pay for that loss. So the loss from discount sale to Goldman means that all of us depositors have to pay for it. So now, okay, there's $3 trillion insured by the FDIC, but now they only have $100 billion to pay that. So they have very little to pay for what could be $3 trillion of insured deposits. And Janet Yellen wants to jack that $3 trillion up to $25 trillion. So now, instead of having $100 billion to fund $3 trillion, now it's $100 billion to fund $25 trillion. It's insane. They can't afford it. It's a bailout. It's another bailout. And that means the taxpayers will be on the hook. That's what they want. They want a kind of partial nationalization of the banking system. We should not do that.
Well, and if Janet Yellen wants to do it, it's probably the exact wrong thing to do. Because
exactly wrong, right.
And how did she get to be in the position that she is right now, managing our banking and our finances of this country?
Oh my gosh, it's a disaster. It's malpractice. She was a member of the Federal Reserve, chair of the Federal Reserve years ago under Obama, and now she's back in doing damage again as treasurer, secretary of the Treasury. And she's just a tool. She's really just an ivory tower, wonky tool for the oligarchs and the billionaires and the big billionaire money managers, and And yes, even the banks, they're like, they're trying to basically say, don't make us mark our books to market. Just pretend that our bonds are valued at 100 cents on the dollar when they're not. so they have capital issues. You know, if you wanted to mark all the banks' books to market, maybe they only have 5% capital, not 15% capital. Their capital levels were strong, but they're not as strong now. And that's why some are like, you know, and these are the agitators who are trying to make a buck, and by they're chaos agents out there trying to scare people. So don't be scared, but don't let a bailout happen either.
Okay. So we have to tell our congressman we don't want a bailout, and we have to let everybody know that we don't want a bailout.
Tell the banks to keep more capital and to mark their books to market. That's the way to do it.
Be more conservative. Use conservative banking principles. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
How do we take outside hits? You know, you've got China and Russia working together. How is that going to impact banking?
Well, in May, if the dollar, they're trying to do more trade in non-dollar terms, like buying oil from Saudi Arabia and metals and mining from around the world. So the dollar is usually the currency to do those trades, and they're trying to maybe supplant it with a different currency or even a digital currency,
right,
like a central bank digital. That's politically conditional money. You don't want to touch that at all. So we like stable currencies that are not going to be manipulated, maybe even backed by metals ourselves. So we should not be letting, I don't know, China and Russia have natural relationships with themselves, and they're doing energy trades and all that. But they're also trying to, you know, exploit the weakness that the Biden administration has given them to maybe muscle into the currency world, you know?
Correct. And I think it's that muscling into the currency world that also has people concerned, because most people don't have they put their money in the bank, they pay for what they need. If they need to buy a house, they'll go out and take a loan or a car. But for the most part, people try not to have debt. But inflation has caused a lot of people in America to have a lot more debt than they did 2-3 years ago. So, and they don't understand how they're being impacted by the world situation that's going on right now, but they know that they are. And there's no trust of this administration with people's money. And
so under Trump?
No.
Under Trump, there was real wage growth the first time. 2019 was a great year. We had low interest rates and real 5% wage growth. Now it's the opposite. We have high inflation and wage deflation. So it's just, this is crazy.
It's kind of like Jimmy Carter deja vu, right? Like this happened, because that's when I bought my first house and interest rates were 17%.
The coaching team's the wrong team. You got to swap out the team, the coaches, because the country's good, but we have bad leadership.
And if we're voting on that, I vote A. Yes, we have bad leadership, and I'll take away that Yellen is a tool today. So I want to thank you for coming on. I think you made my listeners feel a little bit better about their banking system. We're not going into a complete depression yet.
No, thank you.
Thanks, Robert. We'll have you again. You've been listening to Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. So no drag queens, and your money's safe today. We'll be back tomorrow.